Welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
Hello and welcome back to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. My name is Jay Shalansky, and joining me as always is Evan Bulris.
Waka waka doo doo, yeah.
Well, that just happened.
So yeah, I was gonna try different ones. We'll see how that goes.
It's a brand new Fifth Trooper, everybody. We're trying new things.
Look, it's a Weird Al reference, get it or don't, whatever.
Every day is going to be different from here on out. So let's go into housekeeping. So a little bit of housekeeping. We've got the Northeast Open coming up this weekend.
Yep.
I'm actually going to take most of our conversation for this, and we're going to put it at the back half of the episode, because seeing as there's only 3 or 4 days left, most of you have probably signed up already. If you're coming, we'll talk about what's happening, all the events, everything cool that's going on. So we will push that to the back half of the episode. Another little housekeeping thing is, if you haven't seen on the Facebook groups, on our Twitter, on our Facebook page, and I believe on Discord, I posted a questionnaire. So we are looking at making more mats, and I decided to reach out to you, the audience, and the purchasers of said mats, and just get your feedback on them and just see what you think we should do next, how we should sell them, how we should prepare them, etc., etc., etc. If you fill that out, we will give you a downed ATST randomly. Randomly, one person picked will get an downed ATST. So that should be interesting. And then, speaking of giveaways, we have been putting this off for a while because, quite frankly, for all of you wondering why we haven't announced the winners of this, is because I have been crazy busy. We, as a network, have been crazy busy. And so we just haven't picked the vehicle giveaway yet. So I'm going to go ahead and pick that now. So the first person that will get, what do you think, Evan? You want to give them the tank or the land speeder?
Land speeder.
The first person, and this person will be getting the land speeder, is Matt Schneider from Canada. So congratulations, Matt Schneider.
Congrats.
You will be getting the land speeder. Now I'm going to pick our second one, and I'm doing this random and live here. So our second one is going to be George Monroe. George hails from Oklahoma. So George Monroe, you won the tank, and that is that. So George Monroe and Matt Schneider, congratulations. The great vehicle giveaway has been completed, and I finally chose the winners. And I will contact both of you after the show, and we will touch base on your addresses and all of that good stuff. So now that that is done, I hope that made all of you very happy that we got to that. Evan, are you happy that we got to that?
I am now. I'm jazzed.
Well, hot dang. So that's a little bit of cleanup housekeeping there. We also have, for Northeast Open, just really quick, this isn't about Northeast Open, but we got a live stream going on at Northeast Open for the event. Make sure you pay attention to that if you're not coming to Northeast Open. We're going to have some announcements as far as the Fifth Trooper Network is concerned, and you're going to want to tune into that because they're going to be pretty cool. So that's that. That is housekeeping. So let's head into the news. You ready for news?
Yep.
News from the Week in Legion.
This in for Star Wars Legion news. FFGOP has changed the structure of next year's organized play for Legion. They have put out applications for Star Wars Legion Prime Championships. They look to be similar to the RPQs from this year. And you can get local retailers to see if they'll host one of these events. The applications close on July 15th at midnight, roughly. And if you're a non-US retailer, they should be hearing from their distributors as well soon. So that it looks like that the new OP bosses in charge are changing things up. I believe that the RPQs are from the old regime, and that this new Prime Championship is kind of how they want to push things moving forward. So also in Star Wars Legion news, FFG has launched the preview for their two new expansions for the Clone Wars. the BRC Speeder Unit expansion and the Droidica Units expansion. We learned a little bit about those at Adepticon in both the FFG panel and on our live stream with Alex Davey. So if you want more information about those, we cover it on both of those videos on our YouTube channel. And we probably won't talk too much about them today. We'll just come back when they actually have the full spoilers out. Next week, Tuesday, July 9th, FFG will be doing their live series that they've continued to do on YouTube and Twitch. I believe it's every Tuesday and Thursday at 1 p.m. Central Time. And next week, July 9th, we will have Alex Davey and Luke Eddy on the live stream, and they're going to explore the Clone Wars core set. Looks like they're probably going to pick out the stuff out of the core set. I would guess it's going to be similar to like an unboxing or something to that effect. And they'll talk about gameplay. It should be pretty cool.
It'd be cool. I just want to see what's in it. And I'm hoping maybe they'll soft announce a side unit or something coming out with it too. That'd be cool.
Yeah, or maybe the date when it's going to hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's right now, if you go on the website, I think it's a shipping now.
Yeah.
So, you know, here's the, again, I know this is news, but this is, odds are what they did last year is like releases at Gen Con.
Yep.
Everybody at Gen Con can get first dibs, and then usually a month later they'll do a re-release.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be Q3, so that's July, August, September, so it'll be, should be any time now, right? So we should be seeing that soon, and hopefully they'll give us some information on the live stream.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Those are my favorite. Those and X-Wing are the ones I pay attention to.
Okay, so the next news from Star Wars Legion is the spoilers came up on the FFG website for the Rebel Veterans. So those are now available for you to take a look at. It doesn't look like they have the emplacement troop, only the main Rebel Veterans. And they are coming in at 48 points.
The emplacement troop's down there.
Oh, is it in there? Yeah. Okay. So 48 points for the Rebel Veterans for four minis. They have coordinate emplacement trooper. After you are issued an order, you may issue an order to a friendly emplacement trooper at range one.
That's super cool.
Defend one. After you issued an order, gain a dodge token. Not bad.
No.
They got one courage, white defense dice. They surge on both attack and defense. They surge to just hits. They are unarmed, one black, and they have the 280 blaster rifle, 1-3 range, and it's a one black die.
I'm kind of surprised they only have one courage, but I mean, it keeps them in line with core troops, right?
Yep, right, because they're core, so I guess that makes sense. Then the emplacement troop, let's see, so let me pop this open. So they are called emplacement trooper, they are 38 points, the Mark II medium blaster trooper, one mini, detachment rebel veterans. Fire support. When another friendly unit performs a ranged attack, if you have a face-up order token, each mini in your unit may add an eligible weapon to the attack pool. If you do, flip your order token face down, limit one fire support per attack pool. This is similar to what the clones are gonna have as well.
Yeah.
So this will be cool to see this a little bit early. They have fold pivot. When you pivot, you can pivot up to 360 degrees. They have reposition, which means before or after you make a standard move, you can pivot. They have sentinel, so your standby range is 1-3. Very e-webby here.
Yeah. They don't have that. They have cumbersome, so you can't move and shoot, but they don't have plotting.
Right.
So you can actually like do two moves up. You know, like, and that's with anybody who plays a lot of e-webs. You know, sometimes, man, I really wish I could have just gotten one more range out, right?
So, unarmed, one black dice, that's melee range. They also have the A280 blaster rifle. I guess it's just one dude on there. 1-3 range, one black die. They have the Mark II medium blaster, 1-3 range, four black die, with critical two, cumbersome, and fixed front. Critical two is while converting offensive surges, change up to two surge results to crits. So, you know, you're getting... I mean, it's surge, right? But for two.
Yeah, I got a feeling you might see this as the new impact.
Yeah.
The impact keyword might slowly phase out. It just makes it more fair for vehicles because, man, imagine how different it would be if DLTs had critical one instead of impact one.
Yeah.
ATRT would actually have a chance, right?
Right. Okay, so some of those cards that they're upgrade cards that they're showing is Endurance. At the end of the activation phase, you may remove one suppression token. That's 6 points. You have the Rebel Veteran, the fifth trooper, if you will, for 12 points. That's pretty standard. You have the CM0/93 Trooper, 1-3 range, 4 white dice, with critical 2. That's what we just spoke about for 31 points. You have environmental gear, you gain unhindered. You have overwatch, you gain sentinel, standby 1-3. Endurance.
You already did that. We
did that. Yep. So we just went back. Okay. So good. So there's that. Let's see. Anything else about these guys that we want to talk about?
No. I mean, they come with the attachment. It's let it be known that their ability to hand out an extra order to a stationary gun could also be used on the 1.4 cannon.
Yep.
Right. So if you got that cool scene from the movie, right, you can have them deploy and then get the 1.4 cannon. Maybe that makes it better. Maybe see it a little bit. I don't know. They look cool. Again, well, this is just the news, so we'll try to keep opinions minimum, but we'll talk about these later at some point. Probably when they come out, we'll do like a full what I feel like, you know, what one of us feels like rundown.
Yes. And I believe that is it for news.
Hey, so for this next ground crew segment, I got a lot of mixed feedback, good and bad, which I take both ways, right? Like, I want to hear both. I don't want to just hear one or the other. Yep. Well, I hope I hear some good, right?
You'd prefer to hear more.
Yeah, sure. I'd hear both. So I'm doing something quite radical, if you will.
Okay.
This first one is a J-produced idea. So we used to do these way back when. Right when we first started, we were just throwing anything at the wall to see what stuck.
Yeah, this was on the YouTube channel.
Yep, we did the Vader one when like troops saw Vader for the first time. We made like a cinematic audio book kind of experience. Well, I had an idea. I'm like, yeah, everybody runs down units, and I can talk about the land speeder or anything else I want to talk about for a while. But what makes us different? So I'm writing kind of an audio narration about how the people in the army would talk about the vehicle or anything. So I could do like, I plan to go back and forth, and I actually want to make a couple characters so you can kind of follow them in their journeys through this battle. Again, I am not a writer, and so bear with us. The first one, you know, will be good, but here we go. This is one of Jay's shorts, and then hopefully in a week or two you'll see what I come up with.
As the great galactic empire spread peace across the galaxy and was on the brink of galactic domination, an insurgency began to grow. This rebellion kicked off a great civil war that spread chaos and fear across the empire. As the empire brought a time of peace and tranquility, these traitors brought only chaos and destruction.
We had our orders. Hold the objective, no matter what. We all know too well the power the Great Emperor wields. Veers was pointing out targets for us, and they couldn't get through our armor. We had them. Then the Princess showed up, the leader of their pathetic rebellion. She had two of her trooper units on her flanks, so we lit her up, focusing on her with our DLT-19s. Here's the crazy part. Her troopers kept diving in front of her, taking the brunt of our attacks and leaving her barely touched. I had never witnessed anything like it before. It was demoralizing to the entire unit. She took the objective right from under us, with barely a scratch. The Emperor was not pleased with the outcome of that battle.
As the great galactic empire moved across the galaxy with its brand of order and fear, few stood up to the tyranny of the empire. However, as the years passed, pockets of resistance grew working in secret against the empire. With the growing resistance and an increase in firepower, a rebel alliance was formed. This set the stage for a galactic conflict.
It was like nothing I had ever seen. He moved slowly and methodically across the battlefield as if he already knew what was going to happen. At first, we weren't worried. I mean, how could one man, no matter how much black he wore, take down an entire unit? Not to mention he was so far away and seemed to move at an Eopi's pace. Then, it happened. We were focused down on an enemy trooper unit, trying to get our Z6 in range to do some damage. When suddenly, we were being moved, against our will, towards him. Within seconds, he wiped out my entire unit. The only reason I survived is because I ran. And he seemed to be more concerned about the commander anyways. That red light will haunt me until my dying days.
These are the stories from the men, women, and humanoids of the Galactic War. Join us next time for stories from behind the lines.
We're doing it wrong.
So now we're into We're Doing It Wrong. And like we've said before, this is going to be, you know, anything, unit analysis, list analysis. We're going to talk about building terrain, all kinds of things. Yeah. So, Evan, I know you had something on your mind that I believe War Corgi brought up, right?
Oh, yeah. So this is we'll use the spot this week to talk about this. So War Corgi came to me after my last segment and he said, hey, interesting idea. How about this? So what he proposed to me is, would you still take the units that are considered bad, like the rocket the M12 rocket launcher, HH12 rocket launcher, or the grenade launcher for the rebels if the points were flip flopped? So right, a DLT is 24 points, I believe.
Yep.
And the rocket launcher is 34. I want to say.
24 and
24.
Yeah.
Oh,
you're right.
All right. Hey, all right. See, I can do it. So Jay, would you take them if they were switched?
So would I take if the
Which one would you take if they're switched?
If the DLT was 34 points and the HH12 was 24 points, which one would I take? In today's meta?
Just in general, yeah.
Like, I mean, with all the tanks and land speeders, I think that HH12 looks a lot more attractive at 24 points.
It does, but you can't move and shoot it.
Right, but you got the Impact 3. Ooh, I don't know. With 3 black dice, range 2 to 4. Range is a big deal now. I think it would be a harder decision, and I think I would give the HH12 way more.
I think that's correct, right? I think at the end of the day, I'd still go with the DLT because you can move and shoot it. Right? It's more mobile. It goes to range 1 in case you get jumped or the rocket doesn't. It has Impact 1, not Impact 3. Mm-hmm. I want that HH12 to be in play. I want someone to want a day to come in this game where any of those side minis actually have a chance, right?
Yeah, the problem is, at 24 points, even at 24 points, I don't see a full wholesale switch between DLT and HH12.
Yeah, yeah.
So I see, like, I could see a
maybe
split.
Take one. Yeah,
or
maybe
one
take
or
one.
Two. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, especially with... I think, and this is something we're going to see coming up, is I think the land speeder is going to become more prevalent in the meta because, as Evan will tell you, that thing is really, really good. And I think people just haven't had enough time with it yet to realize how good it actually is. And so, I don't know, an HH12 at 24 points would look a lot better.
All right, open up a snowtrooper.
Okay.
We'll switch that one. Like, flamethrower is very good, but their ion barrage weapon, what do we got?
Ion at 34, and then the flame trooper at 20.
Would you take that if they were switched?
No.
It's a, yeah, it's a tap, impact one, ion one.
No.
Yep, nope, I don't think so.
It's one there. It's one black, two white at range one to two. So you, your range increment goes up a little bit from the flame trooper. Yeah. But with the flame trooper, you're at potentially five to six black dice, plus yeah. you're adding blast, and you're just... No. I think the even at 34... This the flame trooper is still a steal.
Still correct. I think that's the correct choice as well. It's the tap ability, man. You don't have time to tap. I guess they're the unit that does get a free shoot action.
Yeah.
So if you had to ready then move and then shoot,
yeah, you
that's
could.
Three actions.
Sure.
That's maybe that's not terrible. It would definitely be interesting to play.
But it's just not enough. No.
Well, the problem with those weapons is they're such a hard counter to vehicles, but they lean so deep into it that if no one brings a vehicle, they're almost useless, right?
Yeah, like, so here's the question, right? Are you ready for this?
I am ready.
Because we don't know what we don't know, but do ion troopers become more worthwhile with the droids?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's an interesting point. In other FFG games, they make it so if you take an ion, like in X-Wing, if you get ionized, you can only do a focus action. Droids can't do focus, right? So they just kind of drift. Does ion affect droids? That might be
they'd
their
have
home.
To change it. Right?
Yeah,
because right now it's a vehicle wounded by an attack that includes this weapon gains one ion token. So I don't know what they would be considered. So that is the question.
You see, that'd be cool. It'd be cool and bad. So right,
like, right.
So if someone brought a droid army and you brought nothing but ion, man, does that feel bad, right? But on the flip side, if you brought a droid army and let's say they're undercosted and a little bit better because ion's so good. And anyone could take it. Any army's got access to ion. Well, so far anyway, right?
Yeah.
The two armies have access to ion. And clone troopers don't yet. I don't think. They have the DL... No, they have the Z6 and the DLT?
Yeah, yeah. So they have each.
Yeah.
Because the Galactic Civil War is a break off of yeah. the two factions.
Yeah. So, so they don't have access to it yet. So it'd be interesting that if the two original factions could still hang because they have more ion options.
Yeah, or if ion... Maybe ion just disappears. Too.
Yeah, it could be. It could just be like, yeah, man, this is never good. So again, like shutting down a vehicle is very powerful because that's usually a lot of points sunk into the list. But the problem is if they don't bring vehicles,
yeah,
that thing's just like dead weight.
Yeah.
But let's open up Rebels real quick here and we'll take a look at a couple of their guns.
Give me a second here.
Mostly fleets and I always get the grenade launcher name mixed up here.
Fleets, here we go. So the scatter gun and the barrage trooper.
Scatter gun's what, 23?
23 and 33. Yep. So scatter gun range 1 to 2, 2 red with pierce 1 for 23 points. Barrage trooper 33 points, tap 1 to 3, black, white, white, blast, impact 2.
You know, maybe if you switch it, it has blast.
Yeah, if you switch it, I think that becomes way more of incentive. I think if that's at 23, adding blast. Oof.
That's not bad. Now that I look at that, I'd actually have to think which one I wanted. Sure, it's got impact and it's anti-vehicle, but blast to all those dice. Because, you know, when you throw dice with fleets, sometimes it feels like you get one.
Yeah.
Or sometimes it feels like you get, like, six, right? It's so they're variance machines. But to have blast, that's like a free two, right, added on. So that's actually a real tough choice. I maybe go with that, the barrage gun.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So I guess you'd have to look at it. So you get a little bit of range out of the barrage gun. You get an additional range increment up to three. Okay.
And it's weird because that there's going to be times when maybe that only shoots.
Sure. Right. Or maybe you split your pool.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got that. You lose pierce one. So you're losing a guaranteed wound off the top. Okay. Yeah, but then you're also adding, so, you know, you're going to have eight white dice no matter what, and then you're adding two more white dice and a black, so you're adding 11 dice with blast and impact.
That's
sure.
Not bad.
No,
yeah.
with the tank, the land speeder, everything that's coming into focus right now, I think that might be worth it.
Odds are you roll at least one or two crits naturally before impact, right?
The only problem with that, my only problem I see with that is you don't have an easy way to ready them.
Yeah, I think that's a power move play with them because they got to move and shoot. Like, that's fleets. Unfortunately, Ready One is real garbage on them. At least with most of them, pretty much every game Matt I've played on, I've never been able to take advantage with Ready on Fleet Troopers. Now, Ready on Death Troopers is a whole different can of beans because they can get it all before whatever.
And they get a name.
Yeah, they get whatever they want, man. It's like Christmas every day for them. But with these guys, I've only been a couple mats where I've thought, man, taking a standby with these guys is the correct choice, right? And so that you're paying for an ability you're not using. Whereas with Rebel Troopers, you can always use Nimble. Nimble's always good.
Right. Well, and the problem is, if you look at all the minis across the board, especially some of these older ones, the first gen kind of designs, they were built thematically.
Yeah.
Without consideration for what they didn't know what the boards were going to be yet, right?
Yeah. No one knew. None of us knew.
So they, if you look at Ready One, if you look at their range 1 to 2, they're built for a hallway.
Yeah, like, again, like in the beginning, perfect, right? Like I'll give Alex Davey a lot of things because he's pretty fun game designer. But you know, I rewatched this movie recently. And they're just waiting for them to come to the door and then they just open fire.
Right.
The problem is all these boards are not anywhere near like hallway, right? It's all usually like open terrain, a little bit of line of sight blocking, and unfortunately, we're kind of at the whim of FFG right now to make official terrain. So everything that you make is yourself, right? But it'd be cool to be able to buy a table of stuff that's like, this is tournament grade. If you're going to run a final table, use this stuff. And maybe that'd be cool. Downed ATST is a good step. I think it's actually a fun piece of terrain because there's a lot of little nooks you can look through. And I just built and got a little bit of line of sight blocking on it. It's pretty cool. Like, not bad, right? Yep. But with those guys, you save that. Going back to the original topic here, besides how I hate Ready One on those, each of those guns, if you flip the points, becomes a good thought.
Yeah.
Right? Like, man, it's a lot of infantry. I just take the shotgun because it's like getting blast because adding 2 red.
Mm-hmm.
But God, Lord, help catch someone out in the open with that.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, having blast as like a vehicle comes by with speeder, I think the only thing that's immune to blast is the air speeder.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you can maybe take out a couple. Not anyone plays bikes, but you could. If you play bikes, you're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Yep.
In this meta with all snipers, you're doing the Lord's work. But with with that, you could take that away. Maybe that'd be a cool counter. All right, well, fleets are actually the first one. I think fleets and the stormtroopers are the first two so far that I think are the choice is tough, right? And that's what you want. Like right now, I look at fleet troopers and I just say shotgun. Not even shotgun. Not even an argument, right?
Yeah. Well, the question comes too, and this is something I think the Scoundrels posted on their podcast yesterday, is that are we taking things, like, they're good. Okay, snipers are good, right? Like, we get that. But are we just taking things because we've seen other people play them and make them good? But we're not practicing enough with everything to really, like, make things good. So like if we take Lupo, for example, from Worlds, he was playing with Saboteurs. He's the best Saboteur player we've seen because that's all he plays with. He only plays with Saboteurs. He only thinks about Saboteurs. That's it. So the question is some of this other stuff have potential of being good if we just focused and played it more?
It's tough, right? Because the learning process is you're going to lose a lot at the beginning, right? And unfortunately, at this point, I don't care about losing, man. I lose all the time. it's just what it is. So I don't mind, but like a lot of times I know a lot of guys who could only play at tournaments. So either risk taking something that they've never used or haven't got to put reps in, or take 3 snipers. And 3 snipers will always generically be okay. At least okay, never bad, right?
Sure.
So you can either guarantee you get 3 actions that you're going to probably get to shoot with each turn, or at least threaten.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when I was playing you at the last event, I had to be very conscious of those snipers, and I did everything I could because I didn't bring them to hide.
Right.
I think you got a couple shots off, but near the end I was denying you sniper shots.
Yeah, and I just had to reallocate them to others.
Yeah, it wasn't like a big deal. Like, it saved me a turn or two, right?
Yeah.
Like, but again, like, sabs were interesting. Is it too bad that, like, quadding up of the specialist became became good, right? But let's finish off with the last one, which is just Rebel Troopers.
All right.
And their Z6 and their grenade. So, no, I agree that new things should be explored. I just wish I got to play more than like tournaments, right?
Yep.
And now with the Neo happening, like, man, I haven't had time. Last time I played was like a month ago.
Right. Okay, so Rebel Trooper Z6 at 22 or the Ion Trooper at 32. There is no question in my mind, if these were switched, I would still take the Z6.
You think so?
Yep, absolutely.
I think I would take the grenade launcher.
Nope.
So the Z6, there's people who swear by the thing. I am not one of those. I like the steady. Like, that's why the DLT is so good, because consistently two hits. Very rarely is it one. This will give you consistently two hits for the most part. They don't surge, which is kind of a bummer. Impact and Ion, sure, it's good. It's 1-3, just like the other one. I would actually consider taking this, I think, a lot more just to try it.
I think the problem is the exhaust. Like, even at 22 points, even at 32 points, the Z6 is laying down 6 white dice. Like, that's most of your attack pool. I think it's still worth it.
The nice thing about Rebel Troopers is they don't really feel out of the game until the Z6 is dead. Whereas with Stormtroopers, when you start losing your extra Stormtroopers, and you start losing that ability to push over cover. So the DLT will normally take cover, then all your extra white dice will punch over that. When you start losing that, then it feels really like a leader in a DLT can feel real bad, because you're like, I'm just going to get a suppression, maybe that. But with the Z6, there's always a chance you roll like 4 crits, maybe, because you're rolling so many gosh darn dice. I think you're right, but that one I might try the Ion Trooper. But I think you're right on that one. So pretty much the two, Stormtrooper and Fleet Trooper, are the takeaway right now of different side units that you'd actually have a hard choice on.
Mm.
And I think that's what good list building is in a game, though, right? Because right now they're auto includes. You just take a C6.
Right.
You don't even think about it. No. Right. And even with vehicles out, like, I might roll crits. Right. I'm throwing 6 dice. 1 out of 8 chance I get a crit. Maybe I get 2 sometimes, not including all the black dice you're throwing too. You don't even really need impact. You'll get one, right? So I don't.
Right.
So it's tough. I hope a points adjustment comes at some point. Not because I think the game is very unbalanced. I think the game is actually pretty good, to the point where, I was going back and forth with War Corgi about this, that the problem is with the units that are the outliers look exceptionally bad, because everything else is pretty in line, right? Like, everything else feels pretty good. There's not besides the air land speeder, but that's a well-known, yeah, this is too expensive. Everything else, when I was talking about those points last time, a lot of them were just little ticks, like ATSD maybe 10 down, and it'd feel probably okay. Everything, like other units, like Pathfinders, maybe 6 off the configuration, so it's free for them. That would give them 6 points, like Hunter or something, right? Like, just a little things here and there, I think, would fix a lot of the problems. Again, they look extra bad because everything else is so mm-hmm. good. I don't mean to praise the game here, but like, it's cool. Like, right now, X-Wing just had a points update, and it kind of made it more apparent to me, because there are some, you know, upgrades that like nobody used, and they just rock bottom, right? Like, 1 point, right. Like, put this on your ship, try it out. And I'm like, grappling struts on droids, 3 points, those are dumb. 1 point, maybe everybody gets grappling struts, right? I like that. And so I'm hoping this game, when I see new units come out, the first thing I look for is the add-ons and mm-hmm. like how hard a choice is going to be. Like, Rebel Veterans, right?
Yeah.
So extra guy is like 31 points or something, 30-something.
Mm-hmm.
And then the gun that they have that goes with them is like 36 or 38, the standalone gun.
Well, we can go ahead and look at that up right now. So the added trooper, the CMO-93 trooper, is 31 for the veterans.
Okay.
The emplacement trooper is 38.
Hey, all right. Almost. So if you take both of those,
I believe in
you. You believe in me? Thanks. Somebody's got it. You take both of those, that thing gets real expensive real quick, right? That's over, that's almost double some of the other units you can take, like a Rebel Trooper unit. Granted, you're getting 2 units out of the deal. But so then this becomes a decision, like, do I take that side gun or like the actual standalone Mark II blaster, which is, I to go about how I like how they keep guns consistent. It's the same gun in front of the land speeder. They just don't have critical 2, but I like the dice pool is the same. It's kind of a cool theme thing. Or do I just take that side guy and not have to keep them like glued around a dude, right?
Yeah.
So I can just run off in a corner with them, or they're more mobile. So, but those are, that's a hard choice. And I like that. I like the hard choices. I just hate auto includes because that's kind of where like snipers and sabs are right now, right?
Yep.
You just say, I take three. Whatever. That's 100 and, like 160 points or something for ish for three activations that are going to do something each turn or even sabs. Like Lupo put it, you know, great was saying, it's like you're banking attacks for later. So yeah, I can bank like 100 because there's no limit to mines. They don't just say you get one and you're done.
Right.
So you could potentially put out like 100 mines and then blow them all up whenever you wanted to, one at a time, right? So it's, they just do so much for so little that it's hard for some of the other units to start shining.
Because
right now, would you ever take Pathfinders? When you could take almost, you could take Pathfinders built like with normally, so about 110, 120 points, or about three groups of snipers.
So no, here, and this is what I was trying to say earlier, is that I wouldn't take them now because I haven't figured Pathfinders out yet, but I don't think that they're bad. I just don't think anyone's figured them out yet. And that could change if someone does figure it out in like the next, let's say the next 5 months, let's say a card to support, like a additional card comes out that you can put onto Pathfinders that just makes them crazy, so, or like opens a door for somebody. Like, okay, for instance, like medical droids. How long were those out? And then everyone's like, ah, medical droids. And then all of a sudden, I think it was Garn and Luke Cook are like, oh, we're going to heal snipers with these. And everyone's like, whoa. What?
I think people really started looking. So not to get too far off, is that, yes, right now, without cards standing today, right? Me as a guy who's played Pathfinders a few times, who's trying to make them work, I would still take the three snipers.
Sure.
Like, easy, right? But so, okay, how about for you? If Entourage didn't exist, one group of Death Troopers or three groups of snipers?
Why can I only take one or the other?
It's just points. Or just points. It's point pool, right? I'm just saying, like, this isn't like an all or nothing. It's just like, if you had, like, the 120
points. That one's
points,
a lot harder.
Right? But that's the thing. That's still, a hard choice.
Yeah, I still lean towards Death Troopers, maybe.
But that's how it should be, though, right? Like, you should go, man, Death Troopers are real good, but they're expensive. Or I can get three of these little guys. Because right now in Rebels, I just take three snipers. Right? There's not even a...
Well, and I think for now, until clones and droids come out, activation control is going to be big, right? Like, so especially competitively speaking, if you don't have at least 10 activations, you've essentially lost the game.
If you don't have 10 or really, really mean 8 or 9, those 8 or 9 have to be, like, great, right? They have to be able to do something every turn or be something.
So speaking of which, I'm going to transition here. Speaking of a mean 8 or 9, I've been thinking about, you know, the Scoundrels talked a little bit on their podcast yesterday about how do we build lists, you know, without the snipers in there, kind of based off of what we're talking about now. So I came. Let me tell you a little list I got here.
Yeah, hit me. All right, hit me the best shot.
Vader, saber throw.
Ooh, okay. I'm in.
Bossk, naked. Stormtrooper with DLT, five of those. Okay, and three snipers. Now I know this is still snipers.
Yeah,
but that's 10 activations with Vader and Bossk.
That's Bossk in there too. That's pretty good. So Vader, right, he just goes and does his thing. Can you fit force reflexes on there?
What am I at points wise? No. 797. So you would need force reflexes because from Scoundrels pointed out to me is that you've got three turns where you're not giving Vader an order token, which is bad for Vader.
Yeah,
right?
Easily, yeah.
So you would need force reflexes to kind of help him out, or I need to kind of work out how I could get in some sort of order manipulation, right? Whether it's comms link with a relay or so, you know, comms relay or
this isn't, you know, tournament ready list, but this is just kind of a cool list.
No,
but
just
I just see when I see Vader without force reflexes, I'm like, oh no,
just looking at the options, you
know. Saber throws a real, real weird way to say force reflexes.
Yeah, I mean, and so it's interesting, you know, and I think that there's other options, but like, okay, so if we were to remove the snipers. That puts me, so I have 7 activations at 665. So let's throw, we could throw force reflexes on him.
Yeah.
We could give Bosk like Hunter. So now we're at 686. So
could you do Death Trooper? Just one? Maybe with the, not the DLT, but.
No, I think you could put the DLT. Let me see. Yeah, that put you right at 796. Perfect. All right, so now for everybody listening at home, 5 Stormtroopers with DLT, Vader with Saber Throw and Force Reflexes, Bosk with Hunter, and then a Death Trooper with a DLT.
That's not terrible.
That's without their config, though. So you would be stuck. Let's see. You would be stuck with
range 1 to 3. Just drop Hunter off Bosk. Yeah. You got it.
Well, I don't even know that you need it.
Yeah, I don't think you do. Oh, the config? Yeah. So you only ever use it for suppressive, really, right?
Yeah, so that's an 8 activation list that's all about range, and it's pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Snipers would eat up the Stormtroopers and the Death Trooper. Bosk and Vader.
Really, it's the Death Trooper, right? Like, if they're shooting at your core units, that's fine. Like, right. Okay, whatever. That's anything with Pierce is the Death Trooper's archenemy.
Right.
Because, man, when I put, like, 10 hits into them and they take none, I'm like, uh-oh. Right, then, you know, like, I think Bob Swain was telling me he had his Han Solo move up and he got 2 shots. He gunslinger 2 groups of Death Troopers. So that's 4 units dead. And they shot at Han. Han had the uncanny, you know, just rolling and just keep shooting Death Troopers. It's like their nightmare, right? It's like they have that much Pierce come up.
Yeah, and so, you know, I think that's interesting. So what I would encourage everyone to do out there, and I'm sure a lot of you are doing this already, but just I would encourage you to not take ridiculous jank lists, but just try not to take snipers. And I know this kind of piggybacking off what the Scoundrels talked about, but let's just see what happens. I think that there's an opportunity here to build lists, become really good at them, and you can still compete even against snipers.
So I've got a jank list for you. Not even a jank. It's a no sniper list.
Let's hear it.
It's 3 ATRTs with rotary cannon.
Yeah.
A land speeder with a Mark II, the rocket launcher, the extra side gun, and the outer rim space speeder jockey.
Yep.
And then it's 5 Z6s and a generic commander. 2 of those Z6s have repair droids. And generic commander has enough points to have strict orders.
Interesting.
Because you could put him in the air speeder. And that gives him when he rallies, because it says they still rally, so his Inspire still goes off, and it goes off, you measure it from the base of the land speeder. So then you have that bigger area to hit an Inspire on.
My only issue, can you put uplink? Would you have room for uplink on the land, on the speeder?
If you drop the if you dropped the droids, you could.
Hmm. Yeah, just for an order control standpoint, you might want uplink on the speeder, but other than that. That's interesting. You should put that together.
I was going to, because the droids, they're so cheap. They're 9 points, right? They're just so cheap. So they're never going to heal the speeder. The speeder is not meant to be hanging around them.
Right.
You know, it's too fast, right? Thematically, it's gone. Yeah. But those walkie boys, you can get up and give them some, take that weapons disabled off or whatever, just keep those rotary blasters firing.
That's interesting.
It's 10 activations, right? It's activations with 4 vehicles. Like, I don't know if it's good, but it's... Even if the problem is the one pip generic does nothing for the list,
right?
Because it's a specialist or operative, so you just throw that out. But you're doing it for.
But you could use what's it called there? The you could use the generic. Hold on, I'm looking it up. You could use Turning the Tide.
Yeah, well, that you could use that like very effectively, right?
Right.
So that becomes like a super card for you. You're like someone plays Annihilation Loom, you're like, cool, Turning the Tide, right?
Yeah, and you know, and covering fire isn't bad.
Works pretty well.
You know, so I think you should put that together and try to play it whenever the next tournament is.
Because the snipers, like the ATRT, super don't care about snipers.
Right.
The landspeeder super doesn't care about snipers, right? Like, they have to roll crits, which isn't impossible. Like, you know, you've seen... The problem is, I'm like, man, snipers roll crits all the time. They don't. I see so many dice rolled, I just remember the crits. I don't remember all the blanks. But man, do I remember all the crits, right? Because they're just like, they feel bad when you get hit, so.
Well, snipers, though, like, I've noticed since I've been playing my Rebel list, that Rebel snipers are way better feeling than Imperial snipers. Because
if nothing else, you just get that hit, that one hit, right? Even if it's just a suppression, you're just like, cool. Whereas, Imperial snipers, like, you roll two surges, and you're like, oh! You're like, yeah, gotcha, sucker. But you're like, oh, nope, that's blanks for them. Like, right. And my favorite, everybody who first plays them always rolls red dice in defense. I gotta be like, nah, dog. They got t-shirts and pants rolls. Yeah. Get that white dye out. But you know, we talk about trying other things, and maybe we're creating the meta because we're influencers to an extent, correct? So when someone says,
not me,
not Jay Schlansky. No. When someone says, hey, especially like Scoundrels or one of the podcasts, say, hey,
there you go.
X unit's good, right? People will start trying it out and playing it. And it's nobody's fault. Like, the Scoundrels are giving you their advice, and it's correct to probably listen to them, right, on what they think is good.
I do.
Yeah, right? And it turns out they win. Like, Kyle came in second at Worlds, right? Like, that he's probably got some good things to say. But you get this prisoner's dilemma, right? And so what I mean by that is, like, everyone's seen Batman, the second one where the two boats, one of the civilians, one of the convicts, and they can each blow each other up. Yeah, the Dark Knight, and they're waiting to, like, who's going to do it first on each side. It's like, mm-hmm. do it, they're going to do it to us. So if everyone as a community said, you know what, no more snipers, we're not going to bring them, who breaks first, right? So it's
me.
Yeah, right? Because like, right then, you're the only guy bringing them. So it's this thing where it's like...
I would absolutely break first. I'd be like, well, I'm winning.
Yeah, right? Like, it's because there's nothing against that, right? Yeah, no one's going to be like, oh, that Jay guy. I mean, I probably would be like, ah.
Yeah, no, you would totally bitch the whole time.
Oh, totally. That's it's just, only when I play Jay do I just get super salty. I don't know what it is. But that's how it is, right? So we encourage you to try it.
Isn't my deadpan eyes, like when you're playing me, like I just no emotion. I'm just like,
oh man, you do this thing where it's like you turn off everything. And so like, I'll, you know, if someone rolls a good hit, I'm like, yeah, good hit. Or I roll something bad, I'm like, oh gosh. You know, I keep it civil and I try to have fun with it, but you just don't do anything. And it's so frustrating. And I'm like, and so eventually I just start taking the negative emotions you should have and then putting it on myself. So you roll like, five hits, and I'm like, oh, great. Jay rolled another five hits. Like, the gosh darn watcher over here. And then I roll a blank. So I'm like, yep, you happy, Jay? You happy about this? As I'm scooping up all my units.
Well, you know what I found? It's not something I do to get into my opponent's head. It's more of for me to stay out of my own head because, like...
Yeah, you said that before. It's just like, it's like playing a wall sometimes. And, like, I know you're being stoic, but you kind of... Got that resting bitch face, I guess, is the way somebody would say it. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, so I'll roll something, and you're like, okay, all right. And you'll do something like, oh, okay, how do I deal with this right now? So,
so, like, you know, you're giving all the examples of when good things happen to me, but even when bad things happen to me, I'm just like, all right. And then I just,
it'll be like a silent mutter, and I'm like, oh, God. Then I start getting torqued up. I'm like, what do you mean? You rolled all blanks. You should be mad, you know, like it's, We're almost like we're a comedy duo at this point.
Like then the like odd couple,
and then you win, and then I'm just like, yep, no, it was a good game, everything was fine. And I just stare at the wall for a minute. I'm like, I just need a minute, Jay. I just need a minute.
No, because you know what was really helping though is playing Rebels, like having those white dice. I just have an expectation of losing them, like losing units.
No,
so like you're like rolling, and you're like, okay, yeah, I knew that was gonna happen, and then you just pull them. Whereas I found with Imperials, like, I'd be like, dude, this, are you, like, in my brain?
Yeah.
I'm losing my mind because I'm like, I'm rolling red dice and I just rolled all blanks.
Yeah. Or surges on Stormtroopers.
Like, right. I'm like, what is going on right now? You know, but I think but anyways, yeah. Yeah. I try to keep it. I don't know. I just think that's respectful. And maybe I'm the wrong one.
Yeah. You sound really bad. I'm over here, like, throwing my shoes in the air and rage.
No. I've played you a number of times. I think, and I've listened to you play against other players, and I think you're a great player to play against. I think you get bummed when bad things happen, and I think you get happy for both sides when good things happen. I don't think you're a bad player. I think you're reasonably emotional.
That's fair.
Within reason. I don't have a calibration for that. Like, so it's just on or off. Like, I don't, yeah, like, I can't, like, tune it down. Like, it's not like a stereo dial for me, volume dial. It's just like, it's just a switch. Either I'm going to be emotional about this or I'm not. And so I just choose not to be because it's just better for everyone.
Yeah. Except when we're playing on your kitchen table. Then you're usually free to go. And
I turn it up.
I appreciate that because at least it doesn't make me just feel like I'm like going full gonzo on a wall, you know?
I do. I have to say, though, sometimes when you're going, like, when you're going, as you said, full gonzo, I do like the fact to not react.
Because yeah, it just makes it worse.
It makes you so much more upset. And I'm just like, okay, Evan, that sounds
full,
good,
full
buddy.
Muppet arms flailing. Yeah, yeah. Like,
no, you don't understand. I'm like, no, I get it. But let's just move on.
No! That makes me, I get madder because then I'm, like, realizing how much I'm overreacting. So it just, like, torques it up more. Right, it's just this like escalating volume dial, yep. And then by the end, I just sit down. And I'm like, I want an ice cream sandwich and a Diet Pepsi, please.
But all right, so that's gonna wrap up. We're doing it wrong.
We're doing it wrong.
All right, so now we got a few minutes left in the podcast. We're just gonna back end this with the Northeast Open. So I'm sure you guys have been hearing us talk about this. We've got over 40 players now. We've got tons of beautiful terrain. I actually posted some pictures on Tuesday of all the terrain. Not all of it, excuse me, some of it. And I tried to do like some side shots and stuff so people didn't get a full view of the terrain. But we've got some incredible sponsors from Imperial Terrain to Legion Terrain to the Army Painter, the Skull Forge. I can't even name them all. There's just so many amazing sponsors. This is going to be, you know, and from the beginning, I wanted this to be kind of the end-all be-all for a fan event, right? I just want you to come. You're going to walk away with multiple somethings, not just one or two somethings, but you're going to get your money back in giveaways just to come through the door.
Yeah.
Not to mention, we're going to be drawing random stuff at the end of every round. So you're going to get that too. Plus, if you win first, second, or third, you're going to get some stuff. If you win the paintings prizes first, second, or third, you're going to get some stuff. It's just going to be incredible and fun. And there's a ton of great people coming. Luke Eddy's going to be there. You know, we're going to be doing this meet and greet thing for a number of random people from the event. I mean, it's just going to be off the chain. Three of the eight people who were at Worlds will be at our event. So that's going to be Kyle, Luke Cook, so your first and second, and Gordon Chase will all be at the event. So you're going to have, and two of them are competing, you know, but they're bringing fun lists. So, I don't think they're going to compete. We're giving an award out to the jankiest list. We're giving an award out to whoever just comes dead in the middle. If you come in last or second to last, you're going to get a free Fifth Trooper playmat. There's just tons and tons of stuff. If you haven't signed up yet and you've been on the fence, you got to sign up by Friday. Friday morning. That's the last. I'm going to close it after that. So if you're not
surprised, you're keeping open that long.
Hey, I want to give everybody an opportunity. Like the fact that. Like, we need people's lists, but we're making everything legal. The fact that there's no real, like, FFG stakes on the line, I don't need to be strict about that stuff. So.
Yeah, but from a administration point of view, right? Luckily, we got enough tables, but if we had, like, a mad rush of, like, 10 people near the end, it'd be...
Yeah, it'd get dicey. But that's when it gets fun. That's when I do my best work. So that is going to be a ton of fun. If you can't make it, we're going to be streaming both days. Evan and David from Notorious Scoundrels are going to be our lead streamers. So they'll be on stream most of the days, both days. We'll be streaming two tables at a time, roughly, and switching between the two and doing interviews. Luke Eddy will be on stream, so you can come in, live chat with him if you want, ask questions, within reason. Just for anybody out there who's thinking about watching the stream and wants to ask Luke a question, he can't tell you about future stuff. Don't ask. He can ask you about current stuff. He can ask you how he came up with ideas for stuff. He cannot tell you what's coming out in the future. Please stop asking him that. We won't even read it on air.
Yeah. This point, he's super cool enough to come out and see us that, just don't. Like, right. I get it. I would love to know what's coming out around, like, in beta testing and five ways ahead. I would love to know it too, but you just got to...
Gotta take it.
Yeah. And so, you know, and I would really encourage you, a couple of our sponsors are going to be doing discount codes that we'll be announcing on stream. So please, please buy from them. They are, you know, all the people that supported us and our sponsors for this event have been amazing, have given amazing stuff. And I'm just so excited about it. The other really cool thing is Luke Cook for the best sportsman for a sportsmanship award is giving away a Star Wars Celebration Vader, which is amazing. And, you know, we just got tons of great, great stuff, great people. And so if you can come and you're going to register, do it, do it, do it. Let's go. Be there. If you can't come, we'll be on stream. You can hit us up, ask us questions. It's going to be amazing. And we're really, really looking forward to it. And like I said in the beginning, we're going to have some announcements this weekend as far as what the Fifth Trooper Network is going to be doing for the future. So check out the streams and you'll get to be part of that. And, you know, as always, keep playing Legion. Have fun. I know a lot of us talk about the meta and about competition, but really it's a game. So let's just all keep it fun and keep it classy, San Diego. And I don't know, Shalansky out.
Everyone, stay rad.
Sorry, everybody. We ended that weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it again. Shalansky out.
Everyone, stay rad.
I don't like your energy, Evan. Let's bring it up a notch. Shalansky out.
Everyone, stay rad.
All right, everybody. Thank you.
Join us next week for another edition of the Fifth Trooper Podcast.
This has been a Fifth Trooper production.